And now a young man who's been watching the headlines out of his homeland carefully and who has a decision to make. The announcement from the Ukrainian government of a reinstatement of the draft for 18 to 25-year-olds to deal with, quote, the deteriorating situation in the east and south of Ukraine felt like a personal message to 24-year-old Yuri Dedula. He is from Ukraine, the town of Lviv in western Ukraine, a virtual arm's reach from the borders of independent Slovakia, Poland, and Hungary. He's been working and studying here in the United States, but these days he can't escape the question, what is worth fighting for? When he leaves Washington, D.C. for home in a few weeks or months, he believes his life will change forever. Yuri Dedula says despite some misgivings, he's going home to be drafted and fight for Ukraine, a decision he has not even shared with his mother.
I will be drafted into an army when I am back in Ukraine. If Russian invasion does happen, guerrilla war is inevitable. I do have to say I am facing a dilemma. If, for example, Russia had withdrawn their troops from Ukraine now and Ukrainian government was conducting any kind of conversation or agreements with the Eastern Ukrainians who are in some way discontent with what's going on in Ukraine, I am definitely sure that we would have found a solution. But because Russia is sending their military, their militia into Ukraine and sending arms, sending financial help, that's where the difficulty is. Because it's impossible for Ukrainian government to find any kind of diplomatic solution in this case. Because they are strictly following Kremlin's scenario. And if those demands of federalization and separatism were actually genuine from Eastern Ukrainians, I would have totally agreed for them to separate. But I know they're not. Because according to recent polls, only 15% of Ukrainians in Eastern Ukraine are actually supporting the idea of federalization.
What about Crimea? Do you support what they did? They voted overwhelmingly.
Well, it's hard to call this a fair referendum because it was held under guns. They wouldn't even let in foreign observers. The only observers were Russians and so-called Ukrainians locals. It's not even professional to believe that the number of people who voted for the annexation is true because even the percentage of Crimean Tatars, it's at least, I think, 15%. And almost all of them are against Russia. So it's the only fact that Crimean Tatars voted for Russia's annexation makes all this referendum fake.
All right, but you can play around with the numbers. But is this worth picking up a gun for, in your mind?
That's my dilemma. I think that it's not only about Ukraine. It's about Russia as an aggressor and Russia as a country who basically ignores the current borders that were established by the post-Second World War agreements. I think it's not important only for Ukraine, it's important for the Western world, for the international community, to prevent this from happening. Because if we do accept Crimea, if we do accept Eastern Ukraine, there are Baltic states, there is Moldova, there is Belarus, there are some Central Asian countries who are fearing that if Russia can just go in and annex an independent country, it could do the same to those countries too.
But Yuri, you were a part of the protests last time you were back in Ukraine, right?
Yes.
When you were in those crowds there in Maidan, were you chanting for the people of Kazakhstan and the Baltics that if you hold the line here that they'll be protected? Or was it about something really different when you were there in those crowds?
Well, I must say that when I did go back to Kyiv for the protests, I came back to a totally different country. Last time I was in Kyiv, I didn't feel this Ukrainian spirit. This time when I went back, although most of the protesters were Russian-speaking, I felt that they're all pro-European, they're all pro-Ukrainian. They just wanted a different life. They're tired of corruption, they're tired of inequality, of social injustice, and that's what it was all about. It doesn't matter what language you speak to be a Ukrainian. And the only fact that people stood up against this greediness, I think this is a different Ukraine now, and people created this new, strong civic society that will now keep the government accountable. And Ukrainians now have a very optimistic future, and Russia understands that. Putin understands that if Ukraine goes to a better direction, goes towards European values, then this might happen in Russia.
Well, Yuri, Putin's interests here are pretty clear, and I think you've stated them well. But if you were in those protests and people wanted to get rid of corruption, is putting you, a 24-year-old Ukrainian, in front of bullets the best way to get rid of corruption?
Well, today the circumstances changed, and I'm being put against Russia not to fight corruption, but to protect our independence. Because Ukrainians fought for independence for centuries. And now that we got it, Russia is trying to take it away again. And it's an eternal conflict between Ukrainian identity and Russian identity of being an older brother, of kind of protecting us from Europeanism, from capitalism. And they don't want to let Ukraine go, because if they lose Ukraine, the whole idea of reestablishing the Soviet Union will be a fail. Because without Ukraine, it doesn't work.
What are you most afraid of here?
I am the most afraid of people losing lives. For me, life is the biggest gift from God, and I really value everybody's lives. So that's
including
my biggest
own
dilemma. Yes, and I am scared to go into a battlefield, not only because I can't fight, but also because I'm afraid, I'm not willing to kill, because I know the people who will be fighting there, they're not doing this because they want to, but because they are being told to, and because they're being brainwashed that this is what they should do.
So, Yuri, last question. Are you absolutely sure this is your fight?
Yes, I am sure, because this is the fight for our country. This is the fight for peace in the world, because as I told you before, this is not only about Ukraine. This is about Russia, who is openly lying to everybody. They're openly lying to American delegations. They're openly lying in the UN meetings. They're lying about everything that is happening in Ukraine. And that's, I think it's kind of hypocritical of Western diplomats to talk about democracy, to talk about international order, about freedom, and keep up with this.
All right, so I'm convinced you believe that this is your fight. Good luck, bud.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Draft age Yuri Dedula is a 24-year-old Ukrainian on his way home, he says, to fight. He currently works for the U.S.-based National Endowment for Democracy. Earlier today, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov again accused the West and the government in Kiev of manipulating the situation, and Lavrov had this to say about the people in Ukraine, young Yuri Dedula. Maybe fighting.
Those who protest against the authorities in the southeast of Ukraine, they want their voice to be heard. Holding elections in a situation where you use your armed forces against a fraction of a civilian population is unusual. It's not Afghanistan where we have an ongoing war and elections taking place.
What would you fight for? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.